intro in 3, 2, 1.
Nice shit, boys.
Welcome. I hope you enjoyed the conversation you're about to witness between me and another comedian. These are conversations I'm calling disorganized religion. God bless. And for any atheists out there, may nothing await you after this life.
Yeah. Ain't it the truth?
Yeah.
Come to Jesus, he is the way.
Welcome to another edition, another episode of Disorganized Religion. I am your host, as always, Seth Lawrence. We are joined today by the fantastically beautiful co-host of mine, Travis the Clyburn.
Black. Thank you. Thank you, Elder. Thank you, Elder Lawrence. Thank
you're
Elder
so Lawrence. You're so welcome. That was for the hearing.
That was for the cameras.
Oh, okay.
And then the talking is for
for everybody else.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
We are also joined by the disembodied voice of the fantastically handsome Katie Clyburn.
Hello, hello, hello.
And today our guest is the one, the only, the legend, the comic who is recording his debut hour, Sorry Again, on April 23rd.
In New York City.
In New York City.
New York City.
The Ian Ira Rooster Russo.
Oh, my God.
What up?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I just hosted a dreidel-themed open mic.
Oh, that's very fitting.
Yeah. How does that work?
You spin a dreidel, and if you get shin, you get to do a five-minute normal set.
Okay.
You get hay, that's a five-minute storytelling set.
Okay.
If you get gimel, that is a five-minute crowd work set. But if you get none, that is a five-minute riff set.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
It has to be all new. Do you have suggestions for that or no?
Nope.
It's just they got to go off something else.
Yep, it's just a fun time.
Yeah, that's very fun.
Can I ask you a question out of ignorance? What do all those things actually mean?
I was going to ask
on the dreidel. I didn't even know they said things on dreidels, so I'm going to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it has the letters, right? Yeah.
I have no clue.
Oh, really?
I just know it's this part of
Judaism.
This part of Judaism.
Yeah.
It's you spin the dreidel and you basically it's basically gambling.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Like one is like half whole. I think spin again. I don't.
Interesting. So it's Jewish craps.
Pretty much. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's basically a dice game.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Are you impressed that lamer. I made that analogy?
Craps. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I mean,
right?
Roulette might be more.
Roulette?
Because it spins.
But okay. Yeah, maybe. I mean, dice sort of spin.
It's gambling.
Roll. Dice roll. Yeah.
I don't know. It's gambling.
Yeah. Today you we guys teach doing... a Mormon about gambling.
I don't
really gamble either.
Do,
I don't know.
Do you hit the casinos at all?
Nope. Never.
Never.
Allowed?
Never.
Allowed? No. I mean, we could do whatever we want. You know? but no, it is frowned upon in the religion. So
okay,
no.
Copy.
It's frowned upon in most religions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
The funny kind of loophole is with Mormonism, you pay a tithing on your income, which is 10%.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have income from gambling, which you shouldn't be doing,
interesting,
you don't pay tithing on that.
Oh.
Because the Lord doesn't want your filthy lucre, right? So
your filthy sin money.
So I guess if I just made all my money from gambling, tithing free, baby.
Oh.
But yeah, it's a not good thing.
Yeah.
So, no, we don't gamble.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I've stepped into a casino maybe twice in my life. And
you don't like it?
The first time I walked in with $200 I was willing to not walk away with. It was for a bachelor party. I lost all that money in about 20 minutes.
That sounds right. Yeah.
What was your game of choice?
It might have been a slot, one of the slot machines.
That's what I usually do.
Yeah.
Like if I've got a whatever, you know.
The other time, this is a great story. Me and Andy Van, we drove out to...
I know Andy Van.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah, we drove out to Vegas for a couple shows, a guest spot, and we walked into a casino, and we thought it would be fun. Each of us, I put $100 on red, he put $100 on black.
Okay.
I won, he lost. My trip was paid for, and he was depressed for the rest of the weekend. Yeah.
Well, that's gambling.
Yeah.
Wow.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Or don't start.
Yeah,
that's the other option.
Yeah.
Don't start.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I'm usually, you know, don't gamble.
Yeah.
I mean, just if you want to have fun and you get the extra money, I don't know, give it to people who are starving.
Yeah, do some good.
Yeah, do some nice things
do
with the
money.
Do some
good with the money. I want to talk to you about your special.
Okay.
It was very good.
I appreciate that more than you know.
I was genuinely impressed.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it. I apologize again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the room was, full. You had a sold-out crowd.
It was unreal to me because, first of all, the sheer fact, I know who I am and where I stand in the L.A. comedy scene. I am a troll. I don't know if we're able to swear on this podcast.
Yeah, you be you.
But, I have a reputation in the scene, and I get that.
Yeah.
But, from the second I got up there, it was just, the room was full of love, and...
Yeah.
And then there's the other factor, all of these, bits and stories that I've been working on in 7-minute chunks, to see it come together that most of it works. There was one dud, there was one bit that didn't flow right that...
Which bit do you feel like was that?
The one that didn't flow right was the bit that about miracles. That was the one where I looked down at the set list briefly.
Oh,
miracles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Madness. Yeah, and the complete dud, which I'm working on, and...
Is the dud the one that you're...
The Vax card.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So I don't want to out you or give anything away for those in New York who might watch.
Yeah.
Go and see you in April.
Yeah.
I think it's not necessarily so much a dud as you're a bad guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's exactly.
That's the problem.
And that's the thing.
You've been building love. You're a sympathetic character for most of your set.
Yeah.
And then you do that bit and everyone is like, wait,
on
what?
You? This what? I haven't
what
heard.
Did you
I don't
do?
Think I've heard
that's
this
exactly, dude. That was because I've been the dud itself is a part of the correction. Everybody, I go into this story where I try to not to give away too much. I try to give a comic that I developed feelings for a lock of my hair,
right?
Which everybody has. It's a classic, but
classic.
And then I go into what happens afterwards where I'm briefly going on a couple dates with a woman who I have no chemistry with whatsoever, and I end up on reality TV with her.
Right.
And I talk about her coming back, and throughout the whole time I have the audience on board, but when I made that Vax card joke I could about giving my crush the Vax card.
Yeah.
I felt the room turn on me.
Yeah.
Dude, what is the matter with you? We've been hanging out inside for 2 years.
Right.
And you're giving out Vax cards to crushes going on reality TV. You're talking about her on stage. She's not the one who sucks. You suck. And I know. I'm not the sympathetic character in this story.
Right. I think as long as you go into that bit knowing there's going to be silence.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I think a lot of that is just that you're in L.A.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how to play in New York, but I bet you would find spots in the middle of the country where they would think you're a hero.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
it would
not
play
a hero.
Totally
in the whole middle.
Yeah. The flyover states.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd be like, good for you, man. Giving a woman what she needs.
Well, it's not just that. It's just this COVID thing was all made up.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you made up that Vax card because it was all made up to begin with.
Vaccines are trying to microchip us.
Exactly.
Can I ask some backstory? So do you have a Vax card hookup? Do you know people? What's
The joke, leading up to it, I talked about how I worked at a COVID vaccination site. And
oh, so you I
swapped one in case I lose my card, and that was the one I...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Photoshop.
But with
yeah.
I don't want to make her look bad because this isn't a spite bit or anything.
No.
She did get vaccinated 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I don't think it comes off as she's the bad guy. I think it comes off as you're the bad guy.
Yep.
But you could also you could also pitch it as I am so awkward with women.
Yeah,
that I would do anything.
Yeah.
I even did this.
Yeah.
You know, that's one way to pitch it, too, where it's the like, yeah, you're...
I would even commit a felony.
Yeah. I wouldn't commit a felony for my mom.
I wouldn't kill for this person directly.
Yeah, you might want to be careful.
But I would indirectly kill a grandma.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing that... Anyhow.
But like there are lots of like goals and intentions with the whole hour.
Yeah.
But the goal is that I really want to set that story and all the material in the hour on fire. And I think calling it out for what it is the only way to do it.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I have seen you and you are a legend, maybe an infamous one in the LA comedy scene.
That is a good word.
And there's a new documentary coming out that Teresa Lowe made.
Okay.
That you're in.
We're both in.
Yeah.
You both are in.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen...
And Katie. Katie's in it, too.
Katie's in it, too.
Yep.
Amazing. So have you guys seen credits. A cut of this...
No, we haven't.
...documentary yet? Okay.
It premieres at a festival.
Yeah.
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 Same festival, apparently, that Josh Edelman's Mentally Ow is also going to be in.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that'll be interesting.
Is that a festival? Is that a local... I don't even know. I'm on the flyer.
Yeah, you're on the cover.
We're both flyered up.
You guys, Joe Manenti. Yeah.
The other two people, I'm like,
as far as I'm concerned, that's a festival credit for me.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So, given that you are so famous and infamous on the scene,
yeah,
I will say that my experience in seeing you is at Mike's in short bursts, where, and I think I told you this at the nightcap the other night, I'm not sure that format favors you.
A 3-minute mic exclusively in front of comics.
Yeah.
Rough.
Yeah, it's I've even said this like on stage at the Improv a couple times when something that like for like whenever Rita doesn't isn't at lab work for whatever reason, like everybody's angry about it.
Yeah.
But
it makes no difference for most of them in that room. It makes no difference.
Yeah.
There are times when...
Very true.
There are times when, like, Rita isn't there for whatever reason, and she has responsibilities. Like, she has a...
Yeah,
she's the head booker at the Improv.
Right.
But there are times when she's not there, and there's audience there watching.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm looking at the room like, what's the matter with you guys? We have real people.
Yeah,
I didn't want to get into stand-up comedy exclusively to impress Rita or my peers. I want to make strangers laugh.
Right.
My dumb, stupid stories.
Right, but everybody else wants that improv credit. They want to be on that stage.
Yeah. You
know, they want that chance.
I do, too.
Of course.
That's like a in my opinion, dude.
The cold open thing?
No, the admiration or just going to any club and really like bowing down before them and wanting them to give you praise.
Oh, sure.
It. Like at the end of the day, what are we, Ian's right. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Trying to make strangers laugh, trying to make them happy.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
I think people have lost the plot.
Right.
There's
been a couple times. In fact, most recently, I got up last at, I don't know if anybody here has ever done Mrs. Robinson's Sunday Punchline?
No.
It's a fantastic room. It's a mostly open mic, but they have a headliner and a feature. Headliner does 20. The features do 15.
Okay.
And I remember I got a blast on one of these, like, just as a regular set, and all the comics left, and there were just 3 audience members.
Yeah.
And they they enjoyed the hell out of it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Like, I'm okay with that. That's a part of the process.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Would I rather be doing theaters? Absolutely. But
Yeah.
But that's still, there's joy to be had there.
Right. And my point is that for comics who are watching this, because I think most of our audience right now is comedians.
A lot of them.
And they're going to be piqued by you being on this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're going to see it, and they're going to be like, what does Ian have to say? Yeah. So notorious. But I want to tell them and you that based on what I saw at Mike's, I was a little apprehensive going to your hour.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It's your troll ability, as I said before.
Sincerely, thank you. To see you have a polished... I know you feel like weird about looking at your set list one time during an hour. Your first time running the full hour. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And the other is that most of that material, I would say 90%, of that material felt amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. It's a good special.
There was one dud, and there's probably 8 minutes of, like, very new material. Like, the bit about the going, like, the improv Christmas party.
Sure.
Yeah, but like I was able to feel that out, and they're like, yeah, this is definitely pity laughs. Like, everybody's still on board.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was still, like, I'm just, like, I'm still in shock. I'm a little bit emotional about it.
Yeah.
That I'm within, like, for you filmmakers out there, the martini shot range of.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was very good.
Yeah.
It was very good. And I want you to know that. I want everybody else to know that it was good. The Ian that you see at Mike's is not the Ian that that exists on stage when he has control of it. When you have your time, it was a great show. It was a great
thank
show.
Thank you. Yeah, time means a lot, too.
Time means a
when
lot.
You can really get up there and stretch a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you really are supposed to shine. People that... We just rely too much on 5-minute chunks. We don't really have a choice out here.
Right. 3 to 5.
Five's
and if
rough,
you don't
man.
Have a 3 to 5, then no one pays attention to you.
I know.
And it's the system that we live in. It might not be right, but that's where we are. So I wanted to ask you where, because I've seen you a lot.
Yeah.
Most of that material I'd never seen before.
Okay.
So what is your process when you put together that hour? Did you do a joke and it worked and then you just never did it again?
There's,
you were like, I'm going to put that over here. That
did
works.
Did you do your old Bones material?
I did.
No bones.
No bones material? Yeah.
No bones material.
No Hormel
chili. You were working on bones for 2.5 years.
Yeah. It was...
I'm shocked there was no bones in there.
Yeah. I thought about
I
thought about walking on stage as a gag and just being like, I'm the Bones comic. Bones.
When I first encountered you, which had been 2016.
Yeah.
That's everyone called you the Bones guy.
The Bones.
Right, you talked about bones almost every set.
My process, I just about all of the material is post-pandemic.
Okay.
So it was they're like a part of the closer, like, not to give away too much, but the bit about, like, sitcoms.
Right, the tropes.
The tropes, but... kind of like much earlier on, but talking about how apartments on sitcoms in New York, like, they're bigger than they actually are.
Yeah, of course, because they're, like, filmed in L.A.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're filmed on the Warner Brothers lot, the Fox lot.
On a soundstage. Yeah. Lots of room.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was just, that bit I was doing in 2019.
Okay.
The second oldest bit in the hour, which I reference, is The
Crush.
Yeah, the Crush bit, yeah.
Right, right.
Which that developed into the Lock of Hair story. Then came the reality TV story.
Right.
And then from there, it was just probably in April of last year, I was, like, so dissatisfied with having... I had 20 minutes of barely serviceable material.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, I've been doing this long enough, that shouldn't be the case. And I just started writing obsessively. I started going on stage, committing to the ever-living crap out of what I was writing.
Yeah.
And I was just finding processes to... Is it processes?
Yeah.
Processes.
Yeah. Processi. Right. Processi. Yeah. Right.
But, like, something like... and I'm still trying to figure that out, but just... Can I tell a great 5-minute story?
Yeah.
And flesh it out, and, like, flesh it out within 2 weeks and make it fully something that I would be comfortable doing in front of people that are paying to see me.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I think the most surprising thing to me was that I'd seen pieces of that hour.
Yeah.
At Mike's. But the grand majority I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how that was possible.
So some of it, I think the Vax card story is a good example of a bit that, like, I'm scared that, like, for a long time I was scared to death to do at LA open mics given the situation. Cause
at the
end of the day, like, this comic, the mythical ex comedy crush. I still refer to like, she's at the end of the day, a colleague.
Yeah. Right.
And I think there is something inappropriate about, Like that, like I've made sure in this situation to not cross any lines.
Right. No, yeah. I think that makes sense. You know,
the felony.
Yeah, the felony. Yeah, yeah. That, well, cross
you know, what's funny to me about stand up is it's sort of like the Senate floor. You know how like senators, congressmen, they can go out and they can say anything, and it's not punishable by law.
Yeah,
and
somehow.
I feel like a lot of comics use the stage the same way.
I agree.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, yeah.
Most audiences, like, he didn't kill a guy. I will watch it. I'll be like, he totally killed a guy.
He killed that guy.
Yeah. I think that guy's for real.
I can see it in his eyes.
So it's wild. It's wild what people assume is a joke based on what we're saying. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Well, it was very good. You said you've been doing it a long time. You kind of got fed up. How long have you been doing stand-up?
Now, what's your origin story?
I'm about 9 years. May will mark 9 years. I started in 2014 in the Brooklyn alt scene.
Okay.
Nice. How long did you do that?
I was in New York for 2 years.
Gotcha.
I grew up in New York.
Okay.
Ultimately, what got me into stand-up was... before that, I was singing in punk bands, and
right.
I didn't know that. I knew you loved punk because we went to a punk show together once.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Where was that? It was a place that the inside looks like a pirate ship.
I remember the Redwood. Is that what it's called?
I think so. Yeah.
Downtown LA.
It's pirated up.
Yeah, that was that. My friend's band Moonraker, which the drummer. Yeah, he went to the tape, the run of the album.
Ian throws down too.
Oh, I bet.
Gets it.
Yeah.
Well, and he's played guitar on the Instagrams.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he also sang
on the Instagrams.
Yeah. But it was like I was in these bands, and in between songs, like playing live, I would dick around and I would just say street jokes. Like I would get laughs, I would do whatever.
Right.
And like it wasn't until like I met someone in 2014 who explained to me what open mics are.
Okay.
And
for
I stand started, up.
I mean, I'm
yes,
assuming
yeah,
you
yeah,
did stand up, musical
stand-up comedy.
Open mics.
I wasn't
one point.
Doing musical open mics. No.
You never did a musical open mic.
I would do them if I happened to be at one.
Just go. Okay.
Yeah, there's not really an open mic that's conducive for like, because I was in metal bands for years before I started stand-up.
And that's not.
And that's not exactly. You can just show
like
up,
poetry,
set up
between.
Your five-piece band and go, all these people are drinking their coffee at a, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's fair. All
that
right.
Makes sense.
But like, it was just, somebody like explained to me like the open mic world. I was getting on stage. I was awful.
Okay.
Like, if you thought the Bones was bad.
I love the Bones.
I had a bit.
I miss Bones and David Boreanaz. I miss every bit of it.
I had a bit about singing Smash Mouth at karaoke. There was another bit where I was talking about how much I hated improv, and for whatever reason, I would start running around screaming like a fire truck.
Okay.
And it was...
Real alt stuff.
Yeah, really, it was really bad. I had nothing to say, no perspective, nothing to bring to the table.
How old were you in 2014?
2014, I was 28 or 29.
Okay.
I think I was 28.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But you hadn't found your direction as a human yet.
I had no creative process worthwhile, no idea how to write a joke.
Yeah.
In addition to all this obnoxious fire truck, like I was not it was just bad.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be bad in your first year,
right?
Like
right,
if you've never stepped foot, like I wasn't listening to comedy podcasts at the time. It wasn't until
were you a fan of comedy at all?
Like I knew about Rodney Dangerfield, and I'm trying to think of
classics.
I'm trying to think of like who, like I didn't have heroes back then, and I think it was the first comedy album that I ever listened to that remains like a pretty big influence on me to this day is Death of the Party by Kyle Kinane.
Hmm.
Oh wow, really? Kinane.
Yeah, that was the album that was the first.
I mean, great album, but
great. Dude, it was a fantastic. Fun fact about that album: he did it in one take, and he never ran it as an hour. He just had an hour of material that amused him.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, but it was just like I listened to that album, and that was like the first content that I've listened to from a comedian that was like, I want to veer in that direction. I want to do that. I want to tell dumb stories. I don't want to take myself seriously.
Yeah.
And like I've gone out of my way to make sure I don't emulate him, but like, sure. I think Sorry Again, like, kind of pulled that off to some degree. Like, I didn't take myself too seriously.
No, I don't think so. I mean, do you feel like that's kind of why you're a troll on the scene?
Kind of, yeah.
You just,
when I start ranking my peers, out of satire.
Oh yeah, hilarious. We haven't even brought up the fact that you have
a
notorious list, which I made once.
Yeah, right,
one time
right.
I was on.
You earned
made it.
It
once.
I think I got on it because I asked. I told you I came back because I was sad.
Yeah,
I didn't make your first list.
Yep, that is exactly it.
And then you put it on there, and you said something very nice about me.
Yeah,
so I appreciate that.
That was. I remember that. I ran into Travis in Cole Alexander's backyard. Alexander, yeah. Mike Sasson,
yeah.
Beth Griffith, they used to live together. The first thing I said to you was, have you gotten rounder?
Yeah, immediately. And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And the answer was yes. I got married.
The pandemic changed us.
Wow.
It did, yeah.
has Luke Schwartz contacted you since issuing the list?
Fun fact, do you know about Raccoon Tweeties?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he went on Raccoon Tweeties, and they went through the entire list,
I know.
It is an amazing listen.
Oh, that's Brennan Cooney's
podcast. Check it out,
Brennan
Cooney's
podcast. That's
what I thought. Yeah, very fun. Raccoon Tweeties.
Raccoon Tweeties.
It's very fun, and they do analyze Ian's list, and it is a very fun listen.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Do you feel flattered when that stuff happens, or do you feel
I'm just glad that, like, the Comedy Store door guys... For the most part, like, they have a sense of humor about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Luke, like, I ran into once. I had a guest spot on a show that he was on, and we had, like, a brief laugh about it. I just told him, thank you for, like, getting my pull.
Great.
Yeah.
I personally am extremely resentful. I've never made the list.
I got you next year.
No. Now because I had to ask
mine was for
Pity
too.
Anything.
I think it's okay.
I think most of Ian's placements are based on pity or how it can help Ian.
Yeah pretty
right?
much. Yeah.
Or people he just knows.
Well,
this time I was giving back. The top 20 was all
a little.
People bought koozies.
Yeah. Right. A little bit.
Giving
right.
Back.
It was about koozies. It was very.
I regret not buying one of those every day.
Well, and
I was there day one.
You could have been top 20.
Yeah, top 20, but no. Anyhow, hilarious. Yeah. Okay, so are you born in New York?
Yes.
Raised in New York. So born and raised.
I was born at Mount Sinai Hospital on 92nd and Madison.
Okay.
Ooh, went to high school at Manhattan Center for Science and Math. Went to college at the City College of New York.
Wow.
And I grew up on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
Yes.
I
did. I was like trying.
What made you transition? Because, I mean, these are two of the greatest comedy cities in the world, New York or LA.
I moved here to get into the TV writing game and gave up on that. And here I am.
Okay.
Do you think you'd ever go back? Because, I mean,
I fantasize about it. Yeah. I fantasize about it. Like the thing that keeps me here, one, the weather.
Sure.
Yeah.
It keeps most of us here, let's be honest.
Yeah, it really does.
Through all the bullshit, we're like,
this
like,
is a stupid city.
Yeah.
L.A. is a stupid place. I don't know, people talk too much about L.A.
You don't like L.A.?
No, I do.
Yeah.
I wish everything that sucks about L.A., it's basically the transients that move here and on L.A. and they just
I look at LA kind of like a lightly emotionally abusive relationship where it's most of the time they're good, but then sometimes they call you like your face or something.
But
and then like tell you you're worthless and you're like, I know.
I think
but
you just gotta you gotta go into it with both eyes open.
Yeah. I mean, I love it here. I agree with Ian. I don't like people constantly talking about LA.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please move.
Then
there's
move.
So much traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
I try to never ever do it.
Right.
Like, granted, this is an expensive city, but so is New York.
More so, right?
Yeah.
I
think here's more expensive just because you have to take into account car insurance and all that.
Yeah. And the worst public transportation in the world out here.
Yeah. It's a joke.
Yeah.
But, like, it's something. As far like LA is an amazing place, and the thing that keeps me here, honestly, is that I have developed like such close relationships here. Like,
yeah,
you've been here a long time. You said since 2016,
2015,
2015. August. That's right. I met you 2016, so yes. You'd only been out a year. Okay, but you'd already made quite a splash.
Yeah, because I was so bad.
Yeah.
Don't move. My biggest regret was moving here before I got sort of half decent at things. Like,
yeah, I understand.
Because I feel like over the past, particularly the past couple months, once Sorry Again kind of veered more into polish mode, I feel like I've just been correcting first impressions one by one.
Yeah.
Hey, good.
Like, yeah. like the weirdest thing, like...
At least you can. Most people just keep sucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's strange to me, like, people have been hearing about how well the hour went, and, like, there are working comedians who've been doing this longer than me who've been doing better. They've been doing theaters, featuring, all that, and they're asking me for advice on, like, what to do, and it's, like...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a daunting thing, and you can feature without having an hour of material.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean...
I mean, 25, really.
Yeah, it's just a very different beast putting together an hour versus a 15 to 25 minute set.
Yeah, a cohesive hour, too.
Yeah.
A flow, you know? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or one that makes sense.
The thing that made Sorry Again work was that it told a mostly linear story.
Yeah.
Like, I think the first two or three bits, it's kind of like a teaser into where things are going. Then I go into probably a half hour of, like, this whole unrequited love story, like, being on the giving and receiving end of it.
Yeah.
And just, like, a bunch of stuff that happened afterwards. And then my closing thoughts.
Right. I mean, I think, yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good sum up.
Yeah.
Good sum up of the hour. So, born and raised in New York, and you're Jewish.
Yes.
Do you feel stereotypical? Stereotypical New York Jew?
At
or
times.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Ian had a meeting once, and we went to the NoHo Diner, and he bought me bagels and lox.
Wow.
Which is pretty...
Why did we have a meeting?
I can't even remember. I never had bagels and lox before, since then, I crave them every now and again, and I go get them. They're delicious.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the last person I would ever have a meeting with.
You
like,
did, though.
I don't mean it.
I don't
like,
remember why.
Yeah. Yo, I have
we had a great meeting.
I have this spec script I want to show you.
Just for some feedback.
Yeah.
Were you religious or cultural? Like, how do you consider yourself? Religiously Jewish, culturally Jewish? Neither.
More
both.
More culturally, like I feel like I have a more atheist outlook. I think more agnostic than anything, because I have no idea what happens next. Nobody does.
Yeah. Right.
But definitely, my great grandfather, he founded the synagogue, like a synagogue in. I almost said Bensonhurst. That's not it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Hewlett Harbor in Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Long Island Synagogue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember where Bensonhurst is and why that came up.
I don't know. The Ben-Hur, great film. Yeah.
Never saw it.
I've not seen it all the way through.
But like I would go to synagogue on the high holy days. I would get I got bar mitzvahed, and I think culturally, as far as like the cultural stuff goes. Something that fascinates me about Judaism is that it's one of the only religions that I know of where you are encouraged to debate the scripture.
Yeah.
What does this mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I think like it gave me a lot of like chops when it came to like critical thinking and forming a point of view.
Well, I do think that's why a lot of lawyers and comedians are Jewish.
Yeah.
You know, granted, there's a whole other host of reasons, but I do think that's one.
Also great storytellers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. So do you still go to synagogue or no? Not at all.
I've thought about joining just for like the community elements.
Yeah. But you would never do it because you believe in Yahweh or in a God that is out there.
I am a believer that if there is a God, he would not be spiteful if you didn't worship him exactly the right way.
Sure.
I think he has other he has bigger fish to fry and
lots of galaxies in universe galaxies out there.
I think as long as if everybody in the world tries to leave the world a better place than they left it, I think God would be
A-okay
with that.
Katie, that deserves a Jesus button, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness.
All right.
In all fairness, I don't think Judaism really follows.
I know, but I mean, Jesus. It's kind of what he said.
But Jesus was a Jew, as far as I'm concerned.
He was, yeah.
Exactly. Jew on Jew crime.
Isn't there a very specific sect of Judaism that does believe
Jews for Jesus?
There's Jews for Jesus. Yeah.
Are you familiar with them?
Barely. I know they exist. I see them like marching in the street.
They're kind of. I feel like a lot of their rhetoric or anything I've heard from Jews for Jesus, they're the most aggressively self-hating Jews I think I've ever heard of in my life. It really kind of makes me sad because they're really like, we were wrong. We killed the true Messiah. And I'm
you guys paid enough for that.
it's just like, I'm all for religion. I'm for the community element. But like when it gets to the point where it's used to express hate against other groups
and
crashing planes into buildings, like,
yeah,
at some point you have to dial it back.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I think
I sit with you there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, you know, we do this podcast. I'm not a believer, but like, I do your religion. Just don't, you know, get weird with it, man.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. And even if you want to share, like even if you want an alien just tuned in, I don't know what that was.
Jesus.
But even if you want to go like that every time the buttons hit. But even if you want to proselytize or, you know, tell people about your religion,
right?
You know, just don't tell them they're also going to burn forever
sure.
if they don't listen to
sure.
you, you know? Just be like, hey, I know a guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
cool,
I was,
man.
Look, I don't know what it is about proselytizing with. I was in a Spectrum store the other day, and this guy just came in, and, you know, they were like, hey, you got to sign in to get an appointment slot. And he goes, no, I'm here just spreading the good word. Just want you all to know that Jesus loves you, and you should turn to him, and, you know, and he kind of went on his little spiel, and then he left. And, you know, he left, and I was like, I believe everything that he believes, and everybody else looks at him like he's an insane person,
right?
Which I understand.
Yeah, because time and place.
Right, time and place, but also like, you know, it's like saying happy birthday to someone and it's not their birthday.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, it's weird, but you can at least be like, hey, man,
like
it's okay. It's
like,
just not
like
my birthday.
Tuesday? It wasn't even like.
Yeah, it was just a random day of the week.
Oh, like it was Christmas.
Yeah, right.
Maybe then that's an appropriate time, you know?
Right, maybe so.
I mean,
maybe
still,
that's better.
Probably not.
I don't know. There's just always this view of if you're religious and vocal about it, you're a little insane.
Yeah, to a degree.
But anyhow, okay, so do you believe in an afterlife? You said you don't know, but do you hope for one? Do you think there is one? Or are you just kind of resigned to maybe this is it and I'm okay with that?
I like to treat every day that this is my one go around on Earth, and
I like it.
Just try to make the most of it.
Yeah,
I think that holds higher stakes, in my opinion, than hoping for a reward after. Because if you think, I bet, like, there's more. I better not this up. Like, if this is it, like every decision I make, that's it. That's all you get, you know.
Yeah,
and then you know you get eaten by the worms and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
it's
more pressure.
To me, it's just like, well, then nobody cares, you know. Either way,
no, they don't. That's
you can be remembered for being a good person, but you know,
I like
0.0001%
absolutely nothing. That gives me more comfort than anything else.
Okay, well,
personally,
yeah. No, I understand.
You know what I mean?
Even I understand.
If you fail at everything you ever do,
then it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's sort of like the open mic at the Improv. Even if you do amazing,
if you do bad,
it doesn't matter.
I've made Rita almost piss herself laughing. You see me working at the Improv,
yeah, right?
Doesn't really matter.
I've been going to the Improv for 6 years now,
and
I've never gotten a I've never
cold
gotten
open.
It. Never gotten a cold open. Yeah. Never even got a 5-minute showcase spot on Lab Work.
Right. So now
I did get to host a happy hour mic once, and that
there
was
you
cool.
go. Nice. Yeah. So after doing this hour, does it make you change maybe your tact? Like, are you going to try to take kind of 3 minutes that just work? You know what I mean? From Sorry Again, and then go back to the improv and just do those 3 minutes.
There's a couple of bits that are 3 minutes. I think most notably the one that's like on murder mode right now is the witch bit.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, the witches. And I know the witches.
Yeah, no, I punched it up wildly, and I'm able to deliver it comfortably, cool and collected. And there's a lot of like, the punchlines get crazier. I hit the old saying, like, sometimes in order to find the line, you know where you have to cross it.
Yeah.
I hit the line perfectly with some of the stuff that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I don't think you had at any point crossed it.
Yeah, I don't think I've crossed. Yeah. Yesterday I made the mistake. I tried doing a shortened version of the closer.
Okay.
And it didn't flow right, and it crescendoed at the end the way it did at at a Wino Vino, but yesterday it was a medium set. People say I did good, but not
as good as you wanted to.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, this wasn't standing O good.
Right.
Oh, I see.
It did get an applause break at the end, which I think is the equivalent for Lab Work.
Like when you were getting off the stage?
Yeah.
They usually applaud.
No,
when you walk off.
Yeah. For like the final series of punchlines.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, the final points, the closing thoughts.
Right. That's great. All right, Katie, where are we on time? We're close?
We're at 41.
Beautiful. Because I want to give you ample time to pester me with questions in a segment that we're calling.
What's the deal with Mormons? I still haven't made the sound effect. I have a lot on my plate.
I actually enjoy this. Yeah. I enjoy that this more.
Just add like a phaser chorus effect to it.
Yeah, Katie, just start throwing in some sound effects here.
If we have any like slap bass.
All right.
Mormons!
Whoop, whoop. Hit the floor. All right.
Church of Latter-day Saints.
Bow, 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 bow. So, Ian, any questions you have for me?
Wait.
Oh.
Drum roll.
Mormons.
There you go.
That's better. Okay.
All right. We've delayed now long enough. Hopefully you've thought of some questions.
Yeah, a few questions.
Rather than just being utterly confused this entire time.
Yeah. You grew up in Salt Lake City.
No.
How offensive!
I know.
To assume
Utah.
Yeah. I grew up in Utah.
Okay.
I was in Orem. Salt Lake City's the capital of Utah, so thereby the most famous. Also, it's where the Olympics were held.
Yes. The movie SLC Punk.
Oh,
it's a great movie.
I haven't seen it. It takes place in Salt Lake City.
Yes, SLC Salt Lake City.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if it was St. Louis Cardinals or whatever. Anyhow,
there's a movie idea.
Yes, but I grew up about an hour south of Salt Lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was like a big Mormon community, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, all of Utah is when I was growing up, the whole state, was a big Mormon community. Yeah. It was 90%. Now it's probably around 80.
Oh, you guys are dwindling.
So we're dwindling, man.
What are some of the ways that growing up in the Mormon faith, in the Mormon community, how's that like shaped your values and just like your overall perspective on life?
Oh, man.
Good one. Deep one.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's inseparable from like, how do you, were you raised Jewish or no?
Yes.
Not really.
It was one of those, we went to temple on, days, got bar mitzvahed, but for the most part, my parents are like, yeah, all this is a crock.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting. See, my parents were the exact opposite of that. So it definitely colored my entire experience growing up and still to this day, because I still go to church, I still believe. So a lot of my morality is shaped around the doctrines from the church.
Okay.
Yeah. Like my whole worldview is through the lens of Mormonism.
Okay, well, like Mormonism, like something. Like the irony here is that like one of the Jewish stereotypes is that we're cheap, but like
yeah.
charity and giving back is like
a big part of Judaism.
A big part of Judaism.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, do you find that? Is that like the same with Mormonism?
Yeah,
to a degree.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know.
You guys don't have a choice, right?
What do you mean?
Tithing wise?
Well, yeah, we are required to give a portion back to the church. But we're also encouraged to donate to charities and, you know, give of time, not just money.
Yeah.
To good causes, you know.
I think time is the most valuable asset you could give.
Yeah. I don't think Mormons have the same stereotype of being cheap. And I think it's just because we haven't been around as long.
Yeah.
As a group, as Jews. I mean, Jews have been around
much
for forever.
About...
You know?
So Mormonism, there's a third testament.
Kind of.
The Book of Mormon.
Yeah. So we believe in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then the Book of Mormon.
We've got one here thanks to you.
Yeah, man.
We got a copy.
Which was made into a musical. I mean, not the story of the Book of Mormon, but it's really story of missionaries that it's not based on a true story. It's just Matt Stone and Trey Parker made up missionaries who go to Africa, and that's the musical.
Okay. Right?
Correct. And I've listened to enough music where I'm pretty sure that's the whole storyline.
That's about the gist.
It's just about these two guys who go to Africa as missionaries for the Mormon church.
Did you have to study Mormonism when you were a child?
I mean, we read from scriptures. Yeah, every day we're encouraged to continue to do that.
Just more reading.
Yeah, it's a lot of reading.
Three testaments. We only had one.
Yeah.
I know. I had two. He's got three. Yeah. Mike.
Wow, we're one, two, three.
I mean, that's the way God works, right? But yeah, I mean, I still read. I still read from scriptures. So, yeah.
Do you believe in an afterlife?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
All right.
This is dope. It's planets.
Yeah. I mean, Mormonism is, I forget the technical word for it, but it's where you believe in multiple gods, but you only worship one. If that makes sense.
So it's like this god is not good enough.
No. It's not just that. It's like
they're not lesser gods.
No, it's like it's like okay. Growing up, you had your parents.
Yes,
they had parents, and they were cool, but you were forced to obey your parents.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
that's kind of the way we think about it, right?
Okay,
is that there are gods that this pattern has existed for who knows how long.
A grand god.
Yeah, and so there's like granddaddy god, grandmommy god. There's the god that we worship and Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother that we worship. And then there's, you know, eventually there will be us and we'll have, if we're good and righteous little boys and girls, then we'll be able to become gods. We will make planets. We will make babies that go down and do what we're doing now. Terrible podcasts.
If there are podcasts in the afterlife,
I know, right? Amazing.
I do like the concept of a grand god, though.
Yeah, isn't that kind of fun?
Like, are you giving them pestilence again? More famine? Haven't they suffered enough?
Can't we get spoiled by the grand gods?
They come along and be like, my son is struggling. So here's the cure to cancer. You know?
Yeah. He thinks you guys need to do, but you know, we know better.
Yeah, we know better.
He's a young god,
only a few billion years old.
There you go.
Who's to say, like, based on the three religions we have here, mm-hmm. we all agree, we all are, if we are religious, like, which... But no, not at all. But
I mean, if you count kind of agnostic atheism as a religion,
yeah,
then yeah, you're pretty religious. You're very faithful.
Yeah, I'm incredibly faithful. Every day I make sure I don't pray.
Right, and
every day I nail it. You don't go to church. I'm crushing my particular religion.
Yeah, right.
Who's to say though that the one God that our religions believe in?
Yeah,
who's
which is
to
not
say
the same.
The
even,
original
right?
God. Who's to say he's the original God?
Well, all of them, even like, because you know, I kind of grew up Splash Baptist, Splash Pentecostal.
Mm.
They're all Abrahamic, so they all kind of start in the middle. And even when we had, you know, Ahmed on here, a Muslim, religion, it's still an Abrahamic religion.
Right.
None of us are in Taoism, right?
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
No, not
so
Baha'i
like technically,
or,
same guy.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Same guy.
That is true.
You know?
Yeah. We all have kind of different iterations of that same guy. But maybe it's like oldest kids versus youngest kids.
That is a good point. Yeah, you because it's like I know Gen Z kids that really like the prequels.
Yeah.
But they weren't born when they came out.
Right.
But I was young when they came out.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked them, then I hated them.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then older people hated them, right?
Right.
But well,
I'm
been
just thinking
longer.
Like, you know, are you the oldest in your family?
No, I'm in the middle.
Okay. Are you the oldest in your family?
I am not.
Okay. So I, as Katie, are you the oldest?
No, I'm the baby.
All right. So you're I'm with old, a bunch of spoiled brats. So
I'm the middle child. I'm the one that
you were forgotten. Yeah, you were forgotten. So you're kind of like the end of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about you.
Yeah.
You're like Malachi. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Katie is the New Testament, right? Like little perfect, you know, happy in love.
Yeah.
And I am the Old Testament. That's the parents that I remember.
And
you know what I mean?
The brimstone.
Yeah. It's like this is our first go around. You're going to follow all the rules.
Yeah, true.
And that's Judaism. Judaism is the oldest kids of the Abrahamic God.
Yeah.
They got it rough.
Around for a long time.
They got it rough, man. And I feel like
we built the pyramids.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Put in quotes because.
You don't think that happened?
No.
Aliens. You think it was aliens? What do you think it was?
Definitely not someone with anything close
Jews?
To my DNA. I do not have the motor skills to push a giant brick of
not
limestone.
Even if there were just hundreds of you doing it.
No, absolutely not.
I just had the mental image of that might have that Ian might struggling up a hill with a
the coordination.
What do you want me to pull this? Why? What?
I do think that the pyramid. I kind of agree with you because I think the pyramids are way older than they think because they don't quite know.
They
have
a
guess of who built them,
right?
And that's why because anytime archaeologists have a guess, they're like aliens, God. That's it. It was gods or aliens.
Well,
that's
you
it.
Know, we're talking about gamblers before.
Yeah,
it's either
true.
Black or red. Which one?
Yeah, I know. When it could just be, I don't know, people that carve things into stone and
sure.
then it all eroded
the
and we have no f***ing ideas.
From forever ago, well, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, so I like Mormons, we sort of believe that we're Jews 2.0. We're like adopted into the house of Israel. We have a whole, like we could go really down a rabbit hole with this.
Okay.
But we...
Yeah,
because
the Jewish man Nehi, right? I've been reading.
Nephi. Yeah. You got
so,
it.
Hey, hi,
you got
Nephi.
It, dog. So,
continue
yeah,
on
so,
over.
Right. So we believe that with the Book of Mormon itself tells a story of Nephites and Lamanites, and they all descended from one Jewish family.
Okay.
Right? And so we basically believe that our faith is a Jewish, it's out of that same, the Old Testament faith. That's what we follow.
Okay.
Without the sacrifices and everything else. It's amended by the New Testament, but we believe that like the gospel that was taught to Adam and Eve is the same thing that we follow.
Okay. I vaguely remember some of this from
South
Park episode that made Isaac Hayes quit.
Oh.
No, that was wasn't that the Scientology episode?
That's
or no, the guy played Chef quit because of the Scientology episode. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. My apologies.
Interesting.
Wait, is there a linkage between Scientology and Mormonism?
No.
No. All right. Two
other
different
than,
things.
Other than
the newest.
Most people view them as both very American religions.
Yeah. Yeah, it all start here, I suppose.
Yeah, right.
And well, Scientology's not a religion, even though it's tax exempt.
Yeah.
As a religion.
So that's a whole other thing. But no, there's no connection between L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah,
praise be his name, whatever you're supposed to say for that idiot.
I think you're, what is it, Lord Xenu? Is that
Lord
it?
Xenu?
I think you're supposed to
go
Xenu.
But no, there's no connection between that and Mormonism, other than they both have begun, quote unquote, in the United States.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
And Mormonism, that was founded like out west, like Utah.
No, it was founded in your home state,
New York.
No,
my
kidding.
Guy, yeah, New York, yeah. Joseph Smith.
Then they came to my state, Ohio, and we ran them out.
Yeah, you did. We got
no
we got,
kidding.
Yeah, we got ran out all the way from New York to Utah when it was not a state; it was a territory. So
there's
we had
nothing
to,
there.
Nothing. We had to fight the Native Americans, and
they're still mad about that.
And befriend some of them, and then take over the land. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're correct.
Right. Yeah, it's anyhow. That's you know, white conquest.
Yeah, I've heard that driving through like Navajo territory, like if you're just like a white American, like, yeah, don't stop there.
Yeah, you better have gas.
They are pissed.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Very, very pissed.
Yeah,
if anyone,
I mean,
if anyone's
as they
got
should
a reason.
Be.
Rightfully so. Yeah. Whoopsies, you know.
I'm like, it's funny. Like, for the longest time, I was like the whole Washington Commanders, Cleveland Guardians thing. At first, I was like, oh, this is woke culture going too far. And it's like, thinking about what, like, historically the Native Americans went through. Yeah. They're not. Yeah, no. Let's let them have this
one.
Yeah,
they can be upset.
Yep. Yeah,
they can be very upset for sure. Sweet. Well, any other questions?
I got nothing.
Dude, excellent. Thank you so much for coming on.
Now you know a Mormon.
We need an outro.
Jesus.
Yes, baby.
Ah, that's the stuff.
We did it. All right. So you have your special that you're filming again in New York.
April 23rd at QED in Astoria. Tickets you could get at IanIraRusso.com or QEDAstoria.com.
Beautiful. Nice. Anything else you want to plug?
My social medias are at IanIraRusso.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see. Sorry again in Tulsa, Oklahoma on April 1st. And I'm about to announce one more L.A. run of Sorry Again on Friday, March 24th.
Hit the applause button, wife.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you get a Jesus.
I have
March 24th.
Yeah.
Where do you have a venue yet for that?
Still in talks. I'm gonna wait. It'll probably be announced in the next couple days.
That's beautiful. Exciting. So if you missed it the first go around, March.
And this will be the last one, likely the last time I'll ever do the Crush Bit in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Before I burn the hour forever.
I think someone else might be excited about that too.
Who?
No. Your barber. Katie, anything for you?
Nah, nothing. Studio's been crushing it. It's been a good time.
Yeah.
That's been our life, basically, is just running this place. And it's been going well. I'm stoked.
That's good.
Yeah,
this is
awesome.
A good idea.
Beautiful space.
Thanks, buddy.
Good setup.
This Monday. When's this coming out? Is this coming out
Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday.
So,
Sunday.
So if you're listening to this on Sunday, Monday, I'll be at Old Flappity Clappity's.
Oh.
Doing Dan Grubb's show.
Yeah, that's finally happening, huh?
Yeah, and then I bet I'll find out tomorrow it's been canceled.
No. It's happening.
It's gotten moved 3 whole times.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
No, it'll happen for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's why they put it on a Monday instead of a Saturday. But it's happening. Come out on Monday. Flappity Clappity's.
Yeah, 7:30. Baby.
Flapper clappers.
Nice. My next cleanup show is February 15th.
Ooh, nice.
So go to my website for those tickets.
It's a good
It'll
show.
Be fun. I am being so self-indulgent, and I am going to headline this one myself.
Yeah.
I've been inspired by Ian. I'm going to do 20 minutes,
hopefully
to get my dry bar tape so that can happen eventually.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so that's it, baby. We have another one in the bag. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Ian, for being here. Katie, you were a master on the keys.
Woo.
Travis, you're just sexy as always.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Can we get one more Jesus?
Always.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. We'll catch you next week.
There is hope for you today. Come to Jesus, he is the way.